Abba Father, you
are. Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
I was in a service last Friday night, and the word of the Lord came forward, and God began to deal with me. And it's been working on me all week long. And I'd like to share some of that today. And maybe it's just me and it won't apply. But I think that we're all human. I think. Some of us might be a little alien. But I think we're all human. So I'm going to inspire us. The title of my message today, you may have seen the email I sent earlier this week and in the next coming services, is that we recognize and live in Holy Spirit advantages. Holy Spirit advantages. And we recognize the divine that is in our lives, and we leverage that divine. We lean into that divine. So I want to speak a little while today, and then we're going to do some praying. As you're seated, turn to somebody beside you and say, I look forward to doing some praying. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being here today. Maybe there's a chance your perspective is a little different than mine, but I consider it to be a shame when employees won't take advantage of employer perks. That the employer provides opportunities, free in many and most cases, and yet they're disregarded. I will tell you, I'm disappointed when a company says, we will match your 401k savings, and people don't take advantage of that. That's free money. Take the free money. That's my opinion. There'll be a day when you're older, you wish you'd have taken the free money. Man, a lot of amens right there. You didn't think I'd come off preaching about retirement, did you? There you go. That was extra. That was bonus right there. I don't understand employees that allow their PTO to disappear rather than use it. I know there's companies that let you build it up and then they write you a check every year. That's different. But there's companies that let build up PTO. That's free money. Free vacation. No, I'm not taking that. I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's free stuff. I think employees are missing a great opportunity when their company says, we will invest in your ongoing training. We'll pay for some things to raise your skills and you can then move up the ladder. We'll pay for things to go to school. We'll invest in you for free. And employees say, no, I'm not interested in any improvement. I'm disappointed in that kind of an attitude. So I've either gained your attention or lost it already at the beginning of the message. When perks are spurned, when they're left dormant, when they're unrealized, in this service and in coming services, I hope to raise our awareness anew that there are some Holy Spirit perks, and I want to inspire us to take advantage of what the Holy Spirit brings to our lives and allows in our lives. I hope to remind myself and you to be involved that God has divinely allowed that when He put a portion of His power within our lives, that there are things that are available to you and I, and we should be taking advantage of those things. Of course, if I'm going to talk about Holy Spirit perks, I need to talk about the Holy Spirit first. I love the passage in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 1. The scripture says, "And it happened." I love those kind of phrases. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a made up thing. This happened. "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples," everyone say followers. "And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'We didn't know about the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? No one's ever told us, explained to us, described to us. We haven't even heard whether there's a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them," in verse 3, "'Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.'" So Paul has come upon some disciples of John the Baptist. Now, if you've been following along in small groups and you've been watching The Chosen, you got a crazy picture in your mind of John the Baptist right now. You're seeing some wild-looking guy living out in the woods. These folks were followers. They were disciples of John the Baptist. They heard his ministry. They heard his preaching. They were baptized under repentance. And they have been followers. These are good people. In fact, history tells us that in Acts 19, at this point of Paul's ministry, for 20 or 25 years, they've been disciples of John. For that long, they've continued to live as best as they knew how to live, to follow as well as they knew how to follow, to pursue God in the best way known available to them. Now here it is some 20 some odd years later, and they run into this guy named Paul. And so Paul talks to them. They're followers. Their lives have already been changed by their belief, but they are unaware of the Holy Spirit. We're good folks. John, that guy was great. We listened to him, we followed him, we pursued after him. But the Holy Spirit, we don't know anything about that. Now, verse number 4, Paul says, "Then John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Verse 5, when they heard this, I wish I could preach as powerfully as verse 4. Verse 4, let me look at this. One sentence. There's a one sentence message. Now perhaps more went on, but here's one sentence recorded. You know what? John was a great guy. He had baptism under repentance, but he came to lead us to Jesus Christ. And in verse number 5, when they heard this, hey, all right, baptize us in Jesus' name. Sign us up. Furthermore, it says in verse 6, Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Here's some good people. Here's some solid people. Here's some sincere people that were living the best they knew, following the best they understood and knew. But when the Word of God came forth with greater things in the kingdom, with more opportunity in the kingdom, when they were made aware, they responded. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they received the Holy Spirit. You see, disciples are followers. They're desirous for more. These disciples from Ephesus, they weren't looking for ways to defend their current status. They weren't looking for reason to discredit a possibility in the kingdom of God. I mean, think about it. Why, if I'm a following Jesus, would I raise any concerns about more of Christ Jesus? Last weekend, I was ministering in Oklahoma. Good friend of mine, they bought and remodeled a new building. It's an amazing blessing of God. Dedication was on Friday, and they celebrated 25 years of pastorate on Sunday, and we ministered in that service. In their city's about 35,000 people. And in his city, there is one church of some kind for every 300 people in population. There's a lot of churches in his city. And as his church and his work for the kingdom and his being the Apostle Paul, if you will, they begin to share the mores of Scripture. Have you seen this from the disciples? Did you know about this opportunity in the kingdom? Have you recognized this possibility in the kingdom? My pastor friend told me one of the biggest obstacles they come across is folks saying, you don't need that. You don't need that. Look what's available in the kingdom of God. You don't need that. Why? Why would a follower of Christ downplay the act of following? I don't get it. Because regardless of the amount of truth any of us knows right now about Scripture and about God, there is always more to know. There's more to discover. There's more to contemplate. There's more to pray about. There's more to apply in our lives as we progress in the kingdom of God. And in Acts chapter 19, we realize these disciples, They're not trying to question the Lord's revelation. Rather, they embrace the understanding of more. Can I just toss this in a moment today? Following Jesus is as much attitude as it is practice. Following Jesus is as much attitude as it is practice. A follower, a disciple, isn't in search of exemptions, rather surrendering to the Lord's leading by His Word and His Spirit. And so these Ephesian disciples, and they learned about baptism beyond the baptism of John, and the baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They surrendered to that revelation. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we know they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Scripture says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. That can be some unusual verbiage. They spoke in a language that they didn't learn at home or in schooling, and they didn't know previously. Now, I recognize in our day and age that sounds, well, bizarre. I get it. But that's the word. Now, we might think of that supernatural gift like this, if I could help us to process. Typically, as human beings, we have thoughts in our mind, and then our brain converts those thoughts into words. That's how we operate. Thoughts, brains, words. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it's thoughts, Holy Spirit, words. It's like a reroute around our brains controlling our tongues and our mouth. The Spirit, the Bible says in some translations, the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance, gave them the words. It's a going around the sides, if you will, of the practicality of the brain, and the Spirit puts words. I want to pause for a moment, and those watching online as well. And while I'm talking about online, when we take to praying later, I hope you'll pray wherever you are viewing this now or in the days ahead. But if you're here like the disciples of the Ephesians in Ephesus, like the disciples of John, if you're watching online and you're like a disciple of John, and you're hearing this for the first time, to be baptized in the name of Jesus or to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as exemplified in Scripture, and you're like, you know what? I've never heard about that. I've never known about that. You've just been following as best you can. Hear me today. I hope you'll have a desire and a hunger and an attitude like those Ephesian disciples and say, you know what? If there's more in the kingdom of God, sign me up. If there's opportunity in the kingdom of God, sign me up. If Jesus has more for me, I want to know what He has. These are important for us today as they were for the Ephesians. These things are alive and well in the kingdom of God today and for us today. And I'll just tell you, we'd love to baptize you in the name of Jesus. We'd love to see everybody filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit in this hour, in this day, today, in this service. Let me just offer some practical elements of prayer and pursuing the Spirit. Number one element is faith. Number one is faith. Here's what every one of us, whether receiving the Spirit the first time or being renewed in the Spirit for more than one time, I got to believe this. It's real and it's for me. It's real and it's for me. Everybody's got to start with that faith. That's genuine. It's legit. It's kind of bizarre, but it's supernatural. It's in the Bible, and it's for me. That's got to be part of our thinking. I got to have faith. It's real, and it's for me. Of course, there's got to be repentance, which means, you know what? Every mistake I made, I'm sorry about that. Forgive me for that. And I want to follow Jesus. Whatever I've been doing, whichever direction I've been going, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Christ. Repentance. There's got to be desire. God does not force Himself on anybody. Never does. There's got to be desire. You hear a lot of granddaughter stories. Well, that's the child in our lives right now. So you're going to get another one. And we'll offer some things in the kitchen. Got the refrigerator open. She's standing there. How about some of this? No. How about some of that? No. Can I hear a frustrated grandparent and parent in the house right now? How about some of that? Okay. We were playing at the playground the other day, and it started raining. I said, well, honey, we're going to have to leave the playground because Pawpaw had already taken a towel and wiped down the entire playground after the first rain so we could play right now. Huh? Stuff I'd have never done as a dad, I do as a grandfather. It starts to rain. Honey, we're going to have to leave. A little bit of sad faces coming on. How about we go get some ice cream? Yeah! Let's get in the car. We're going to go get some ice cream. How far to the ice cream, Papa? How far do we got to go? How far? I get her in the car. We start moving. How far is it, Papa? Are we going to be there in a little while? We're going to get some ice cream. I said, honey, it's just here at the end of the road. Really? We're going to get ice cream right now at the end of the road. I pull into the place. We go inside. Can I look in the container? Can I get some ice cream? Everybody with me? You know what that is? Desire. Desire. You and I want the things of God in our lives. It's not going to be, I don't think so. It's not going to be, well, if I want to. No, no, there's got to be that kind of desire that says, you know what? I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want the power of His Spirit. I want that divine opportunity to operate within me. That's desire. Faith and repentance and desire. And then worship. And then worship. It's something about expressing. expressing our understanding of God and our value of Him. There's something about in my own words and in my own understanding saying, Lord, You are amazing and awesome. What I know about You, I adore and I appreciate and I value and I want more of that in my life. There is something about that worship and that attitude. And part of worship is surrender. Part of worship is saying, I let You have Your way. I let You work in my life. I'm available to You. My mind is open to Your Word. My spirit is open to the work of Your Spirit. And part of that surrendering process is when I feel the power and glory of God on my life. Here's what happens in many people. You begin to feel the presence of the Lord. And people have been praying out loud. They've been talking, I love You, Jesus. You're awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They begin to feel the presence of God coming on them. And what will happen is we stop talking. Because the power and the presence of God begins to get so strong. And you're like, It's hard to say hallelujah. It's hard to say, I love You, Jesus. And that's where the surrender comes in. Where I say, Lord, I'll let You skip over my brain and You can tell the words. And that takes faith in God. And that takes a willingness to say, I allow that Spirit to move through me and to give me words. Here's the amazing part of all of that. Since the Spirit is skipping past my brain, then where my brain might fumble with words on occasion, the Spirit isn't limited by that. When you and I struggle for words of worship, I don't know how to pray sometimes, preacher. I don't know exactly what I want to say, but when I let the Spirit work through me, it's a whole different element. Got to have faith. It's real and it's for me. Need to repent and say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. He's the one going to be in charge of my life. There's got to be desire. There needs to be worship. And that worship needs to flow into surrender. Faith, repentance, desire, worship, surrender. Faith, repentance, desire, worship, surrender. We're going to practice that here in just a moment. These things need to be applied not just the first time receiving the Spirit, but every time we're renewed and refreshed in the Spirit. When we pray here at the end of the service, that's the first thing we're going to pray about, is every one of us making ourselves refreshed and anew and available to the Holy Spirit. If you've never received it, today's a great day. If you've been renewed just this morning, it's okay to be renewed again. There's no limit. Well, I was renewed a couple years ago. What are you waiting on? And I want us to make a specific request when we pray today. I feel like in the Lord's working on me this week and taking advantage of the Holy Spirit's attributes. Rather than inviting and applying the Holy Spirit's perks, maybe you've been like me, and reverting to a mere human means for managing our lives. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, we come in here like we are today for a service like we've had today, and we sing some songs and we hear a sermon, we get a little inspiration, but beyond this gathering, we forget the impact of the Holy Spirit. And we operate and act and leverage just our humanity, just like our neighbors, just like our co-workers, like I've got no divine process on my side. I forget what's available, the perks and the advantages and the things that the kingdom gives. I'm saying it's possible to have in the love of Christ where we're not taking advantage in the kingdom, if you will, of the kingdom PTO or the kingdom 401k match that the Holy Spirit has for every one of us who have received Him. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, a couple of passages are going to frame the balance of this message, which is just a few minutes, and the messages in the coming weeks. Romans 14 and verse number 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the next chapter, in chapter 15, in verse number 13, Paul writes this: "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In the weeks ahead, I'm going to talk about righteousness or rightness, knowing what's right and the power to do what's right. I'm going to talk about hope for tomorrow and the days following. I'm going to talk about joy that we have in the Holy Ghost. But today, I want to just look at peace. Peace. What troubles your life right now? What's bothering you about tomorrow? About next week? About the months ahead? What's weighing on your spirit? What's disturbing you? What's threatening you? What are the circumstances that are causing fret and fear in you, even as I am speaking right now? You see, because we lack outer peace, situation, circumstance, surroundings, we allow that to affect inner peace. You've been experiencing sleeplessness? You've been eating Tums like they're sweet tarts? You've been chewing your nails all the way down to the bone? You've been dealing with headaches, pounding and throbbing? Your face been buried in your pillow? A lot of time curled up on the couch? How are we attempting to deal with the ongoing, outer turmoil? I recognize that worry and fret are real. And they are as powerful as we allow them to be. I challenge us today, are we going to fuel worry and fret, or will we manage them? Oftentimes we see these things as just outside and surroundings. And so if I can get away from the surroundings, I'll find peace. And so we look for escape through possessions. Purchases will bring me peace. We look for escape with positions. If I had a new job, it would bring me peace. We look for escape through perfection. If I will improve myself, it'll bring me peace. We look at escape through people, with new friends, new relationships, associations. That'll bring peace. We escape through prescriptions and addictions. Chemicals are going to bring me peace. Frankly, our human capacity to create new means of escape is almost mind-boggling. But I bring to our attention today that escaping the externals does not provide inner resolution. Running from the circumstance will not bring peace inside. So we question, is there peace for me in this culture, in this society of conflict and worry? Can I find peace? If so, where? Where's the quiet? Where's the tranquility? Where's the restfulness? Can there be peace for me? My intent today is not to simplify human struggle, but rather to express divine response. Christian understanding of peace begins with the Hebrew expression shalom. In English, we think of peace in terms of what it's not. I have peace if there's no conflict. I have peace if there's no outer confusion. I have peace if there's no struggles. We think about external change in order to bring peace. But shalom is defined positively as the presence of certain qualities. Shalom speaks of completeness, not around me, in me. It talks of soundness, not around me, in me. It talks of wellness, not around me, but in me. Shalom, peace, completeness, soundness, wellness. I preach today that the kingdom of God brings us internal impact. Jesus expressed it like this in John 14, and we're going to pray in just a minute. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, you and I are involved in what we allow to feed our hearts, our insides. My peace I give to you. It's not like the peace of this world. Don't let your heart succumb to what's happening in the world. Jesus differentiates his peace from earthly peace. The peace of Jesus is internal peace. It's calmness and confidence in Him. In a modern concept, we're just thinking about surroundings. But Jesus' concept is to remove inner turmoil. In John 16 and 33, look what Jesus said again. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." It's not an ending of external trouble. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus' peace is independent of external circumstances. Jesus' peace in you and I means that me and my neighbor who doesn't follow Christ can live in the same world, in the same circumstance, and I can be at peace because of the power of Christ within me. I can be in the same situation in the workplace or with extended family, but in me there is peace because of the divine power of God, not because the circumstances change, but because His peace lives within me. Are there valid reasons to worry, preacher? Yeah. But is there a valid reason for peace? Yes. Jesus Christ. The completeness, the soundness, the wellness, the internal impact. That's the peace prophesied in the Old Testament. It's the peace of Jesus who foretold as the Prince of Peace. It's the peace that Jesus extends to humanity. It's the peace that Paul reminded the believers in Rome. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, the Roman Christians baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit. They had to be reminded. All you folks are thinking about is dinner and getting groceries and following up the next day. Is there enough in the cabinets? That's not what life is all about. It's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me across this auditorium? And as many as will, you heard the sales pitch at the beginning. If you're able and willing, will you just come up around the front, bring your family, bring your friends, as many as you can. Come gather up here as close as you can. Let's move on up around. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your willingness. Come on and make room for others. Just get as close as you can. Make some space. Some may have to be in one of those first rows. Let's gather around big as you can. Come on. There you go. Awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. Very simple and clear direction, and we're all going to pray. I want us to know confidently within ourselves today that the power of God working in our lives is not dependent upon a keyboard. It's not dependent upon wonderful altos or tenors or sopranos. It's not dependent upon a drum cage. It's dependent upon faith, repentance, desire, worship, surrender. Faith, repentance, desire, worship, and surrender. And I'm going to invite everybody in this house, for yourselves, for your family, for your kids. Can we have the desire for the ice cream cone that my granddaughter had? But it's a desire for Christ. If it's comfortable for you to close your eyes and raise your hands, would you do that right now? Would you just express your faith right now? This is real and it's for me. I want to entertain the glory of God in this house right now. Come on. There's some men and women more experienced and more comfortable in this. Make your way right now in the things of God. I believe that this is real and it's for me. I'm surrendering my life and my future and my direction under the kingdom and power of God. Come on, that's awesome right now. People are already beginning to express the power and glory of God in this house right now. Come on, I have a desire for the glory of the Lord. That's it, Mama. Come on. You're doing the right thing right now. Express that desire. I need you, Jesus. I desire you. I'm hungry, oh Lord, for more. I want to be like those disciples in Ephesus, oh God. They were open. They were available. They were hungry. They were desirous, oh God. I'm open for you right now, Lord Jesus. I'm available. Lord, you are awesome. You are amazing. You are wonderful. Practice faith and repentance and desire and worship and surrender. Those things happen more quickly as we become more comfortable with them and we practice them more often. And for every one of us, there can be different elements that are more difficult than others. Maybe we're great with faith, but I struggle a little with repentance. Not that I'm some kind of huge sinner, but I don't know if I want to let him take charge. And we might be really good with the worship when we're in this kind of setting right here. Other people are singing, other people are praying. But on our own, we struggle perhaps to really express who God is in our minds and our understanding and why He matters. That business of surrendering to allow Him to give me words, that can be a hurdle. I tell you what though, here's something that I've learned, kind of an interesting fact. I didn't learn this till just a few years ago. I know we got a number of folks in the room that are bilingual. Folks that know two or three human languages often more readily can surrender to letting the Spirit speak through them because they already have in their minds this transition between different languages. I've seen it happen again and again. I remember standing right where Marlene is, a young man named Thai, a Vietnamese exchange student from Everett Community College. We expressed to him the power of the Holy Spirit, and he stood right there and was praying, and we just said, when the Spirit gives you words, you let those go. He nodded his head. And we walked away. Pretty soon he's speaking in the language the Lord had given him. It was easy. Am I making any sense here? There's this ease of appreciation between languages. But for some of us, that can be a hurdle. And I get it. You're kind of afraid. Like, I'm going to say something goofy, and people around me are going to hear that. No, we don't care. And you're not going to say anything goofy if the Lord gives it to you. But I will tell you, then practice at home. This is a great place to receive the Holy Spirit because we're all focused on God at the same time. I remember the testimony, and I won't point her out, but she's here today. That when we were teaching Bible study and talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, she had expressed before we ever taught that, you know, I just want you to know, when I pray, sometimes there's some unusual things happening. And so when we taught about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, her eyes got big and she said, "That's what happened to me." Surrendering. Let me just say this about peace, and then we're going to be dismissed. Again, in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "Let the Spirit control your mind." Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Having the Spirit is the beginning. Letting it control is the continuation. Letting it control is the continuation. Will I allow that peace in my life? And let me just offer this. Think about the things that we're reading, we're listening to, we're allowing as input into our lives. And are those things increasing worry and fear and fret? Am I letting that have more advantage than I'm letting the Spirit increase peace and life in my life? Well, how often can I invite the Lord's peace? Always. Does it run out? Never. Anybody interested in living in peace? I want that peace within me.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church. Give me peace.